the Holy Spirit in this place today. Even though at the end of announcements, Nikki said she hated me. Well, because Larry texted me last night and said, hey, can you do announcements? And I said, I said, sure, we'll take care of it. I didn't really want to do it, so I tagged in. I tagged in Nikki today, so I appreciate her being willing to jump in last minute. How's everybody doing today? I see some jackets on. You know, 2 weeks ago it was 80 degrees. Today it was snowing at my place, mixed with rain. What's up with that? It's like, I don't get it. But, you know, that's all right. It's all good. It's winter time. So how many of you had a pumpkin spice latte yet? Yeah, there you go. All right, we see two in the back. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. All right, this morning we're continuing our series in the book of Matthew. See, you guys are quick learners. We've been slogging through the book of Matthew now for several weeks, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about the truth about prayer and the golden rule for living. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 this morning as we march through the book. Now remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Jesus told us that we were not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. I talked about the birds of the air and the flowers in the field and how they don't worry, they don't spin, they don't toil, but the Lord takes care of them. And then he makes a profound statement. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Then he kind of takes a jump off and talks a little bit about judgment, which we talked about last week. But then he shifts his focus again to prayer. And he makes an incredibly profound statement, which I'll read in a moment. But, you know, to me, there's nothing that reveals more about who we are as followers of Jesus and how we feel about others than our prayer life. Now, how we approach God, and we talked about this a little bit, depends on who we view God to be, right? You know, if we see God as this angry, you know, judge who's just ready to pounce on us when we make a mistake, our prayer life's going to be a little different, right? If we see God as a loving father, our prayer life is going to be a little different as well. How a child approaches their parent depends on what they think about their parent, right? You know, we sang a song this morning, Blessed Be Your Name. Every time we sing that song, it reminds me of my dad, because it was the last song that my brothers and I sang before my dad passed. And so every time I hear that song, it's like dad saying, hey, you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, keep it up. So thanks, Brent, you didn't know that, but I needed that this morning. But my dad was an incredibly patient, gentle follower of Jesus, who didn't say a whole lot. He was very quiet, but when he said something, you listened, because you knew that he had this relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting because, you know, I was never really afraid to ask my dad anything. I could go up to him and ask him questions. I could go up and ask for money. I could, you know, I never really worried about asking dad, because my dad was a gentle, loving guy. My mom, on the other hand, okay, I'm not going to go there, but but had my dad been harsh and judgmental and angry, mom's not going to watch this anyway on Facebook, so I'm good. No. Anyway, you know, had my dad, I'm digging deep, so I better stop digging. You know, somebody told me once, when you're in a hole, quit digging, so I'm going to stop digging. Had my dad been, you know, like angry, you know, every time I ask him, he'd chide me or whatever, I would have been reticent to ask him. And so we need to understand that who we think of God or how we think of God really, you know, really has something to do with our prayer life. And Jesus makes a bold statement. He says in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So let me give you a let me ask you a question here this morning. What comes to mind when you hear Jesus say, "Ask and it will be given to you"? Ask and it will be given to you. What comes to mind? As you think of your Heavenly Father, do you think, "Oh, I'm not going to bother him with that. You know, he's busy with the universe," or what comes to mind when we think, when we hear the statement, "Ask and it'll be given to you"? Well, we need to understand it in context. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Takes a detour, and then he says, "Ask and it will be given to you." We need to understand that asking requires dependence. Requires dependence on a loving Father, a loving God. Jesus uses three imperatives in the statement. Imperatives, as you know, are expressions of command, request, invitation, warning, instruction. Jesus, first of all, says, "Ask." Ask and it will be given to you. Ask implies a clear need. How many of you need something today? We need air. We need food. We need, you know, it's right now your body is saying it's 12:30, Pastor, wrap it up because I'm hungry, right? Your stomach's growling because of our time change. Ask require it says we need something. And we need to ask someone. So in this case, it's God. You know, oftentimes I need guidance. And so I go to God and I ask him. But then he takes it a step further and he gives another imperative. He says, "Seek," which is clearly a deeper level. You know, sometimes you may doubt or be in the dark about what you should ask. And so we need to, first of all, go before the Lord and ask him. Jesus said we should first seek the kingdom and his righteousness. We need to dive deeper. We need to seek. And then he says, knock. Why do we knock on the door? Why does someone knock on our door? Why do we knock on people's door? To gain entrance into the house, or to say trick or treat last week. To gain entrance into a deeper relationship. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. You know, prayer at its core is communication with God. God created us for intimacy, and that comes as we spend time with God. You know, Paul encourages us and those who were in Philippi to depend on God. He writes this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." So it begs the question, why do we worry so much and pray so little? Why do we worry so much and pray so little? I'm with you, Brent. There are times when I just stand before the Lord or sit before the Lord and say, "I need you." I don't know what to say. Things are crazy in my life and in this world. I need you. But let me ask you a question. What would happen if, two scenarios. What would happen, first of all, if everything you worried about came true? Yeah, whoa, hold on tight. Okay, so Paul says here, and Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything, pray about everything. So let's reverse that. Think about your prayer life this week. And what would change about this world, or what would change about you and your situation, had every prayer that you prayed this week been answered? You know, for some of us, we'd have to admit, my world wouldn't change a whole lot. My world wouldn't change a whole lot because, you know what, I worried a lot and I didn't pray a lot. You see, we'd understand that prayer is in essence pressing in, coming close to our Heavenly Father, who is a good, good Father, who desires to give us good, good things according to His will, as we seek first his kingdom. But why do we worry so much and pray so little? I'm reading a good little book right now called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And in this book, Tyler Staton makes this observation. He says, the obvious obstacle The obvious obstacles to prayer live on the surface. You're busy, you're social, you're at least trying to be successful and desirable and socially conscious. All of those things take time. So the competition for your undivided attention is stiff. And let's face it, there's so many things in our world that crowd out our opportunities, our times with prayer. Now couple that with, you know, again, all the distractions in this life, not the least of which is, and I don't have my mind's over there, but not the least of which is that supercomputer that all of us carry around in our purse or in our pocket called a cell phone that somehow was designed to, and I'm going to be honest, it addicts us to it, right? I mean, how many times have I set my phone off to the side and it's calling to me? Calling to me. I don't know why it's calling to me. It's calling to me to check the weather, to check my email, to check my social, to check my fantasy basketball score. It's calling to me. Why does it do that? It gives me a rush. It gives me a brain dopamine hit. There's something about screens, and we can, you know, you can Google it or talk to someone who's more of an expert than I am in that. But there's something about our cell phone that distracts us and keeps us away from prayer. R.A. Toyer sums it up well. It says, we do not live in a prayer age. We live in an age of hustle and bustle, of man's effort, of man's determination, of man's confidence in himself and his own power to achieve things, an age of human organization and human machinery and human push and human scheming and human achievement, which in the things of God means no real achievement at all. Folks, we wonder why our world is crumbling around us, why our churches are struggling. It's because we have lost the art or the desire or the realization that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I mean, how often and for what reason we see God is a good indication of how dependent we are on Him, or are we just seeking after our own achievement, our own desires, our own plans, our own scheming, our own whatever? You see, folks, as missional people, if we want to see God's kingdom come in our lives and our communities, it's going to require a level of dependence that few of us are willing to jump into. Prayer at its core requires dependence. It requires dependence on a loving Heavenly Father. Secondly, we need to understand that God hears and answers every prayer. Yes, you heard me or read that right. He hears and He answers every prayer. Matthew 7:8, He says, for everyone who seeks or who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Two certainties I have about prayer. First of all, God hears every one of our prayers and the motivations behind it. James 4:2-3 reads this way. It says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasure. Ouch. James diagnosed that pretty correctly, right? We have because we don't ask. And when we ask with wrong motives. All right, my supercomputer's stuck. No, it's not the slide. It's my iPad. I'll get back. So, there it is. See, God hears the meaning behind the words in our prayers. He knows our motivations. He wants us to, again, seek first His kingdom. So that's the first observation. The second is this. God will always answer. Always answer. Now, don't get me wrong. God's not a... cosmic vending machine that all we got to do is put in the right change, pull the handle, and out will come every desire that I have. Because remember, he knows our motives. He also knows what's best for us. You see, sometimes God will answer yes to the prayers that we pray. Sometimes God will answer no, and we don't like that answer, do we? You know, people are like, you know, God doesn't answer my prayer. Well, maybe he's answering your prayer. He's just not answering your prayer in the way that you want him to answer. You know, maybe he has answered and he has said no, but you keep pressing. And sometimes God says, wait, keep knocking, keep pressing, keep listening. Which leads to my third point, and that is this. God gives us what we need, not always what we ask for. In verse 9 through 11, he says, which of you, if your sons ask you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God knows what's best for us? Or do we know what's best for us and we're just waiting on God to, you know, get in line or get behind us, right? You know, an unknown author wrote this. He said, I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I was asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for, almost despite myself. My unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Can you pray that prayer or make those statements? And I was talking to a friend one time who was praying for this promotion at his job. It would have come with a higher salary, and he had a young family, and he didn't get the promotion. And so we were talking about that, and as we kind of unearthed some of the things that were going on in his life, he kind of confided in me that you know, things weren't going very well, you know, with his young family, because he was spending a lot of time at work. And I made the statement. I said, you know, maybe the not getting the promotion was grace from God, because you might need to focus on your family and less on, you know, your job. See, oftentimes we need to understand that God knows best, better than we do, and he will always give us what we need. Again, not always what we want. Which brings me to my fourth point, and that is this: no prayer is wasted. I mean, how many of you ever prayed for something for a long time and you still haven't gotten it? Maybe you prayed for the salvation of a child. Maybe a new car, a new place to live, maybe to win the lottery. You didn't win it last night. So your prayer obviously wasn't answered in that regard. But you know, we didn't understand that every prayer is a chance for us to make a connection with God, the God of the universe, to press close, to listen, to learn, to become like Jesus. But too often we feel it would be easier to do it ourselves, that it might be quicker. You know, God, I'm not going to bother you with this one. I got it. You know, don't worry about it, God. I got this. And sometimes we might just get impatient and run after God and speak when we ought to listen. I'm reminded of the story in 1 Samuel when Saul, who was being threatened by the Philistines, was told to wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. But Samuel was late, and so he got impatient. And so he decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands and give the sacrifice. And so he did. And as Samuel came around the corner. He had a word from God. You shouldn't have done that. The kingdom is going to be stripped from you because you were impatient and didn't wait on God. How many times in my life have I heard those words? You shouldn't have done that. You should have waited on me. You got ahead of me. I'll take care of you, but you got ahead of me and you caused a whole lot of problems that you didn't have to have. You know, we need to understand that again, we're really talking about discipleship here. We're talking about learning to be like Jesus. We're talking about pressing in to Jesus. And as I've shared before, discipleship is more about divine union. It's more about a relationship with God than it is about getting all the answers right or living right. My friends at Gravity Leadership put it this way. They say the goal of discipleship is divine union with God. It's not moral perfection or cognitive certainty. It's not doing all the right things or believing all the right things. Discipleship is mutual participation in the very life of the Trinity. You see, divine union can only happen as we communicate with God both through our words and our ears. As we talk to God about the desires, the things that are going on in our lives, and as we listen to God and what He desires for us. And I know that can be frustrating because I don't know about you, God doesn't speak to me audibly. I wish I could turn on my supercomputer phone and say, "Hey God, what's up?" Sometimes I sit there and I wait in silence. And it can be so frustrating at times. God, give me direction. Just tell me what I need to do. And I hear God's still small voice said, "This is what you need to do. Just sit here in silence and be with me. Just listen to me. That's what I want from you. I just want to be with you. Quit worrying about the doing stuff. Quit worrying about the believing stuff. Just be with me in relationship. That's what I want." You see, prayer is not just about asking. It's about connecting, which requires, again, listening. And that's why it's important for us to have some prayer rhythm that sets aside time for listening to God. And then Jesus moves on. He makes an interesting statement about how we should treat people and reminds us that we need to treat people the way that God treats us. His final statement in verse 12 says this, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." The sum of the law and the prophets is what? Love God, love others. Our relationship with God in prayer should always spill over into our relationship with others. As we press into a loving God, we ought to become more loving. As we seek Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we ought to be more and more like Jesus and Holy Spirit. And Jesus says we are to treat others how we want to be treated. Let me ask you the question, how do you like to be treated? How do you like to be treated? Do you like to be treated as stupid? an afterthought or as someone who's getting in the way or how do you like to be treated? I don't know about you, but I like to be treated with respect and dignity and love and grace and encouragement. And yes, sometimes I like to be challenged. You see, we need to understand that God is always present and at work in the world. And God is looking for us to pray and to partner with Him to help draw others to Jesus. And we draw others to Jesus by being like Jesus, by treating others as we would have them treat us. Prayer is about communication. As we seek God, as we seek to partnership with the Trinity, and Jesus encourages us to ask, to seek, to knock, to press into Him and His kingdom first. And sometimes, what's interesting is as we press into Him and His kingdom, The stuff that we thought was important, that we thought we ought to pray for, the things that we think we need kind of drop off. So as we think about our prayer life this week, what's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? I'm going to give you just a minute. What are you hearing Holy Spirit saying to you about your prayer life? I'm going to be transparent with you this morning. You know, I've had an opportunity this week to answer that question and to sit before Holy Spirit and say, what are you saying to me about my prayer life? And you know what I've heard Holy Spirit say to me this week? Jerry, you're distracted. You're distracted with a lot of good stuff, but in the end, what I desire from you is just to be with you. You may say, but Pastor, you're supposed to have it all together. You know, that question, how would my world change if every single one of my prayers were answered? I had to answer that almost honestly saying, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. That doesn't mean I don't pray. But what are we praying? What do I believe about prayer? What do we believe about prayer? Does it make a difference? So the second challenge, now that I've stood before you, is this. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to do the same thing. Set aside some time to pray this week that's out of your normal rhythm. Maybe you have a rhythm of praying in the morning, or maybe you pray in the morning, evening, afternoon. I don't know what your normal prayer rhythm is, but do something this week out of the ordinary. Set aside a block of time, maybe, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Do something different. And in that, take some time to listen. And then secondly, the second challenge is be aware of how you treat others. This week, ask Holy Spirit to point out those times when you treat people well and those times when maybe you're not treating people as you would want to be treated. There's really two challenges here in this passage: to press into God and then to treat people as God treats us, with love and dignity and respect. You know, Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for challenging me this week as I pressed into this passage and into this sermon for today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that you desire to give us the things that we need, not always the things that we want. And the reminder that prayer changes things as we're seeking first your kingdom. Lord, how easy it is for us to rush ahead and try to bring your kingdom without your power, which comes through prayer. Lord, I need to stand before these folks today and just seek your forgiveness for how anemic at times my prayer life can be. For how often I get distracted with reading a good Christian book or blog or whatever it is. Or reaching for my phone to check this or check that. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, my desire is to to seek and to ask and to knock, to be in relationship with you in a way that will change me and change this world. So Lord, help me to do that. Help us to do that as a body of believers. As we join together our hearts in prayer this morning, Lord, help us to commit to one another that we will be people of prayer. Lord, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen.